The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Avalara. For e-commerce brands, tax compliance gets more complicated with every new channel, state, product, and market. Avalara Agentic Tax and Compliance helps automate the work behind the scenes so merchants can deliver a smoother customer experience with accurate tax calculation at checkout, clearer visibility into tariffs and duties, and fewer surprises for customers when their order arrives. Avalara works with major e-commerce platforms like Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, and more, helping teams manage compliance faster and scale with more confidence. To learn more about Avalara's e-commerce compliance solutions and explore resources built for growing e-commerce brands, go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's June 15th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Subway and the Walmart delivery app, Castle, the fraud wasn't the worst part, Apple unveils next-gen Apple Intelligence and Siri AI, and Shopify's $3 billion buyback bump, sign of trouble? And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from a world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. On June 18th, I'll be hosting the third and final Shopify Enterprise webinar episode with Operators Who Talk Real. The series is sponsored by Avalara and Domain. To register, go to watsonweekly.com/events. This is not sponsored by Shopify and will contain content that executives and founders will want to hear. But first in our shopping cart full of news, Subway and the Walmart app. Walmart just put Subway in the delivery app. It sounds like a small story, but it's kind of not. Last week, Walmart switched on express delivery from Subway counters that already sit inside its stores. Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas to start, with roughly 1,400 locations promised by the end of the summer. Flat delivery fee, same prices as the in-store menu, 30 minutes or less. So why does a $713 billion company care about foot-long attach rates? It doesn't. Really, it cares about the rails. Walmart already runs 30-minute delivery in 33 markets. It has Spark drivers, more than a million drone deliveries logged, and a customer base that visits its stores and sites something like 280 million times a week worldwide. That's a delivery network they've already paid for. DoorDash and Uber Eats spend to acquire restaurants and drivers. Walmart is testing whether it can fill capacity it's already dispatched with orders that it already had the demand for. And Subway is probably the cheapest test it could run. The restaurant sits inside the building the driver is already standing in, so there's no new pickup stop and no partner system to wire up. If the economics work on a sandwich made 20 feet from the loading dock, you find out fast and cheap. Walmart pointed to one number worth keeping. Customers made about 21 meal decisions a week. Walmart wants those decisions, not just the Saturday grocery run. So the real question isn't whether someone wants a Subway delivered, it's what lands in the app when the rails are proven. And just think about this. This is why Amazon is so great at delivery. They already have the trucks on the road. They know where the demand is going. They know about the consumer and what they want. Walmart is trying to repeat this playbook to go after Uber Eats and DoorDash. Look out is all I have to say. Our second story, Castle, C-A-A-S-T-L-E, and the fraud wasn't the worst part. Here's a number that should stop you cold. Castle told some of its investors it did roughly $440 million in net revenue in fiscal 2023. The real number of revenue was $15.7 million. Round that however you want, the company reported nearly 30 times the business it actually had. But the fraud wasn't even the worst part of this story. Christine Hunsicker, the founder and CEO, confessed to her own board in December 2024 that she had been doctoring the financials. She admitted it on a freaking video call. Then she stayed in the chief executive chair for 3 more months while the board said nothing bupkis to investors. How does that even happen? Governance. Look at the board. For most of its life, Castle had 3 directors. One of them was Hunsaker herself. When the questions got serious in late 2024, one director, John Hennessy, the chairman of Alphabet, suddenly decided he had resigned 3 years earlier. That left a single voting director, a Tokyo-based asset manager named Scott Callan, sitting across from the CEO who just confessed. He asked her to step down, and she refused. He couldn't outvote her, so she stayed. How's that for governance, folks? Meanwhile, the money was moving. Right around the time the sharper investors started asking hard questions, Castle wired co-founder Jaswinder Pal Singh $6 million to buy back his stock. Sounds like a parachute. Plus like another $1.75 million from a trust fund tied to his wife. Singh hasn't been charged. Oh, that could be coming soon. And there's no evidence he could knew about the fraud. But he rejoined the board, took Hunsinger's old seat, and later got on a financing call and called himself the savior coming back to rescue the company. One investor, Jonathan Webb, cut him off. There was zero shareholder value, Webb said, because the whole thing was a freaking fraud. So what's the takeaway for anyone building a startup or writing the checks for one? It comes down to who controls the board. The names on the cap table were about as good as it gets. Bill Ackman, Henry Kravis, but none of it mattered. Because a founder who controls the board controls what investors also get told. Hunsaker had raised more than $600 million against a company once valued at $1.25 billion. And the body that was supposed to keep her honest had her sitting on it. She pleaded guilty to securities fraud in March, admitting she defrauded investors out of $283 million. And she'll be sentenced this summer. But the part I keep coming back to isn't her crime, it's those 3 months. 3 months where literally a board knew its CEO had committed fraud and told its investors nothing. At what point does staying quiet stop being business judgment and start being a decision someone has to answer for? That's probably what the lawsuits are going to decide. Our third story. Apple unveils next-gen Apple Intelligence and Siri AI. Apple held WWDC on June 8th, and after 2 years of promising it, the company finally shipped a real Siri. New name, Siri AI. It reads what's on your screen, pulls context from your messages, email, and photos, takes action across your apps, and goes out to the web to answer open questions. There's a standalone Siri app now with conversation history that syncs over iCloud. On paper, it's the assistant everyone assumed they already had. But the feature isn't the story. The story was actually running underneath it. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman reports Apple is paying Google roughly over $1 billion a year for a custom Gemini model around 1.2 trillion parameters to power Siri's cloud features. Apple won't confirm the commercial terms, so treat the number as well-sourced but maybe unofficial. Now you can read Apple's own press release with more information. They get a bold new architecture uniquely designed to protect users' privacy. You won't find the word Google anywhere in it. The queries route from Apple's private cloud compute so Google never sees your data. Maybe. But the company that spent a decade telling you it builds the entire stack itself just rented its flagship feature from a direct competitor. Then look at the fine print, because that's where the gaps show. Siri AI isn't launching in China, while Apple works through regulators. So the most important feature Apple has shipped in years arrives late, in one language, missing 2 of its biggest markets on day one. And consider who's holding the bag. This was Tim Cook's last WWDC as CEO. He hands off to John Ternus in September. The executive who built Apple's supply chain dominance closes out his run by outsourcing the company's single most important software bet. So, my read is Apple didn't win the AI race this week. It just bought a ticket to stay in it. $1 billion a year to Google is rounding error money for a company sitting near $4.5 trillion in market value, and a Gemini-powered Siri that actually works beats an Apple-only Siri that never ships. That part is defensible. But don't let the privacy language paper over the dependency. Apple's whole story has been that it owns the silicon, the OS, the experience end-to-end. Sirius Intelligence now lives on someone else's model. Maybe call it smart capital allocation for now, but it's also the first real crack in the vertical integration story, and I'd want Apple to convince me otherwise. And our last story, Shopify's $3 billion buyback bump, sign of trouble in the age of AI. On June 2nd, Apple added another $3 billion to its share repurchase program. That makes a total authorization to $5 billion. This is worth remembering, they only started this thing in February at $2 billion, and they've already chewed through about $1.45 billion of it. The new money goes to work June 8th. Now, maybe the headline writes itself. Company buying back its own stock right when everyone says AI is about to rewrite commerce? Doesn't that smell like a company that's run out of ideas? That's the question I want to sit with, because the easy answer and the right answer may not be the same ones here. But the easy version is first. Buybacks are usually what mature companies do when they can't find anything better to do with the cash. The Apples and the banks of the world. So when a self-described AI growth machine starts handing $5 billion back to shareholders, you're allowed to ask whether the growth story is quietly running out of road. If the opportunity in front of you is as big as Toby keeps saying, why aren't you spending every single dollar to grab it? And then you look at the numbers and the trouble thesis falls apart. Q1 revenue was up 34% to $3.2 billion, the fastest growth Shopify has ever put up in 4 years. Merchants cleared $100 billion in GMV for the second quarter in a row. The company threw off $476 million in free cash and $2 billion across all last year. That doesn't sound like a business gassing me for air. They're generating a lot of cash. It kind of has that rich person problem. We have so much cash. What do we do with all of it? So perhaps we should read the buyback for what it is. A $5 billion authorization with no minimums and no expiration date isn't necessarily a fire alarm. It's actually optionality. It lets Shopify lean in when the stock gets cheap, and it quietly soaks up the dilution from a heavy stock-based comp bill. But I won't let them off completely clean. Capital allocation is a statement of belief. A company that's truly all in on AI land grabs doesn't usually have $5 billion sitting around to give back. Shopify is telling you it can fund the future and return capital at the same time, and maybe it can. The number I'd watch is the balance. The quarter the buyback base starts outrunning the reinvestment in AI and the platform, that's when a sign of confidence starts turning into something else. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. AlphaSense, a market research firm, raises $350 million at a $7.5 billion valuation. Second, Standard Bots announced a $200 million Series C funding round that will be used to enlarge its New York manufacturing facility. Third, KKR invests $80 million in Fresha, a business management and marketplace platform for the beauty and wellness sectors. The new funding will be used to enter new markets and product development. Fourth, Bed Bath & Beyond Home Services expands with the acquisition of Installed Right and SFV Services. And finally, Anthropic announced in late May that raised a record $65 billion in Series H funding. That's H for hell yeah. Its last funding before an IPO, probably. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter also, which you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com.